Vayishlach. There, there is an open mitzvah, and I thought that I would not pass it up, because it doesn't appear anywhere else in the Torah, and that's the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha. Not to eat the Gid Hanasha, the sinu that is on the back leg of the animal, and because we don't eat that sinu, and it's very difficult to take it out. In most countries, they don't eat the back quarters of the animal at all. That's why in America you can't get a glatt kosher sirloin steak. But here, especially amongst Sephardim, you can get sirloin steak because they take out the Gid Hanasha. They have a mesora of nikur of how to take it out. for the most part, I think the Ashkenazim don't use the Gid Hanasha here. Don't use the, they don't use the back quarters even here. But there are definitely in Eretz Yisrael people who know how to do nikur, and if it's manukur properly, those parts of the animal are okay. But if you don't know how to take it out properly, then the custom in America is anything past the second to the last rib, I think, goes to non-kosher what's called market. Okay. Now the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu fought with the angel, and he was wounded in his thigh, which was basically where this sinew is, that's where he was wounded. And because of that, the Bnei Yisrael don't eat the Gid Hanasha, which is on the thigh. Now that only applies to animals, because birds usually do not have a rounded kaf hayoreh. The kaf hayoreh is the rounded top of the thigh bone. Okay? So birds usually don't have that, but if there would be a bird that would have a rounded bone by its thigh, then that prohibition would apply to birds too. It's only because birds don't have a rounded thigh bone that this doesn't apply, but if there would be a bird like that, I don't know what the ostriches are like, but or in Australia maybe there are birds like that. But in any case, it applies to animals basically, and it could apply to birds, but probably doesn't apply to most birds. And that's what we don't eat, that Gid Hanasha. So the Balei HaTosfos says that the reason we don't eat the Gid Hanasha is to remember the tremendous miracle that happened to Yaakov Avinu, that he fought with an angel and survived. And he didn't have any lasting damage, only temporary damage. Hold up a second. He also includes another idea, a different Balei HaTosfos, that it's a remembrance not only of the fact that Yaakov Avinu was spared and survived, but the tremendous covenant gedula that Yaakov Avinu won over this angel. So we remember Yaakov Avinu's victory and the miracle that he wasn't vanquished by the angel by not eating the Gid Hanasha. The Sefer HaChinuch, however, says that there is something beyond Yaakov Avinu's victory and his greatness in fighting the angel, but it's a simon to the history of the Jewish people. Just like Yaakov Avinu fought with the Tsar of Esau, so too his descendants throughout history would have to fight with the nations around us, right? Fight spiritually, physically, be in tremendous danger. But as Yaakov Avinu was successful and survived and went on to vanquish the angel, so too in the end we will survive and we will vanquish the other nations and we will end up on top. And the Abar Benel says that the hint similarly was that even though the Satan could not damage Yaakov, but he would be able to damage his children, who was represented by the Phi, right, which is a symbol of procreation. And in the end, however, even they would survive, and that Sarol Shel Esav and the Goyim would one day admit and give us a bracha and admit that we were the ones who were right all along. The Karban Eliyahu says even more than that, that here is another hint, that God already anticipated all the tzaras that we would have in Galus, was hinted to already in this fight between Yaakov and the angel, to let us know that this is all part of God's plan, that we should know that this was already anticipated, it's not something that just happened, it's all part of God's plan for the world. Shem Shem Fro Hirsch says that Gid Hanasha has a connection to the word Noshe. A Noshe is a person who is a creditor. Somebody who loans somebody money is a notion. It says noshim also have the same. Nosha, it means I give something of mine or I give some of my power over to somebody else. Okay? I submit myself into somebody else's, or something of mine into somebody else's power, but eventually I'll get it back. Women submit themselves into the jurisdiction of a husband. Right? And a person who loans money to somebody gives his money under somebody else's jurisdiction, but eventually they get it back. So too, we throughout history have to be submitted to the nations of the world, but not because we're weaker than them, and not because we owe it to them, but just the opposite. It's because God wants that. We're submitting to God's will, that God wants us to be submitted like that, so it's clear that in the end, when we are victorious, it's because God made us victorious, not on our own doing. It's not from our own power. But therefore, we have something that eventually the guardian will pay us back. We have something that we are loaning to them, right? The fact that they have shlita, they have control in this world, that's on loan. And eventually we will be paid back for all of the tzaras that we had in this world. And that's why it says, Vayar ki lo yachol lo. The angel saw he couldn't vanquish Yaakov himself. It was only peripheral things. But Yaakov himself was never under the control of the angel. Yaakov was in control of himself. The Jewish people are never under control of the nations of the world. It's God who puts us into those situations. Not because we are weaker, not because we are vulnerable. It's because that's the will of God. The Maral and the Babenu Bachya extend this, not only is this a symbol of the struggle of the Jewish people in Galus, which is in the macrocosm, but in the microcosm, every human being is a small world. And we all go through that struggle between our physical side and our spiritual side. Right? The Sarach, the angel, represented the powers of evil, the powers of materialism. Esav was the one who got this world, the powers of this world, as opposed to Yaakov, who represents the Olam Haba, the Jewish people, who are next world. So within a person also, there's always that struggle between his this world and his next world. And that's a struggle that goes on. And therefore, this struggle is basically for the good. Because the whole purpose of this struggle is that we should be able to earn and create our share in the world to come. And therefore, it says that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to run away from confronting Esav, and not to have that confrontation, the Rashbam says that God sent his angel, Michoel, to fight with him. That was the angel that wounded him, not the Tsar of Esav. Because you can't avoid this confrontation. That's part of what the world is all about. To have this confrontation, to have this struggle, and through the struggle, to create the world to come. That's the purpose. And that's why in the end, after the whole struggle, Yaakov didn't want to let the other guy go. No, let's fight some more. Right? He didn't want to let him go because the purpose of this world is to be dynamic and to go through all these struggles. And that's why the struggle will be till Alos HaShachar. It will never end here in Galus. As long as there's Galus, the struggle will go on. Anyone who thinks that they can eradicate anti-Semitism and eradicate the struggle we have with the nations of the world before Mashiach comes is not true. Beis Halevi says there are miracles in this world, but they're called miracles of night. They don't last. They're temporary, and then there's more tzaras. And then there'll be more miracles and more tzaras. The only time that the tzaras will end and the struggle will end is when Mashiach comes. That's Alos HaShachar. Those miracles will be day miracles, which will last. And Rav Shimon Shkop says that whenever you have this struggle, you never come out 100% okay. You're always limping along. So the struggle is important, and it will never end until Mashiach comes. And you should realize once you have this struggle, you're never going to come out 100% okay. That's one idea. So the idea of not eating the Giv HaNosha reminds me of the whole purpose, the whole plan of God that includes many, many years of struggling with the nations of the world and struggling within the person with his Yetzer Hara, with his whatever. The Kli Yakar says, as an extension of this perhaps, that the idea of Gid HaNasha, Gid, he says, is something hard. He said, it comes to teach me, don't eat the ghee, don't try to understand the difficulties in the Torah, the reasons for the things in the Torah, they're beyond rationale. They're beyond our understanding. Right? Don't question the Torah and don't try to understand all the reasons, except that the Rabban Shalom said, and it's most of it's beyond our comprehension. And he says the whole idea of not eating ghee anash also doesn't make any sense. I mean, Yaakov Avinu came out of this fight, and basically he was only wounded for a little while, and then he was healed when the sun came up. So really there was no lasting effect, so what are we not eating the ghee anash for? It's something beyond rationale. And therefore I think that this also hints to the fact that since it hints to the whole idea of galus and all the tsaras we go through, don't try to rationalize that either. There's no understanding. It's something beyond our rationale. We can't understand Holocausts and pogroms and suicide bombers. It's beyond our comprehension why the Rabban Shimon would let these things happen. We have to have faith that God knows what he's doing. And we also have to have faith that in the end, right, Lamaisa, everything will work out for the good. In the end, with Yaakov Avinu, it worked out for the good. So we only see the short range. It seems to us terrible and tragic. We have to have faith that the Rabban Shalom knows what he's doing. And that's why the Sfarno says one of the things that we don't eat to get on Russia is in the places that we were vulnerable, we don't consider that important. I was vulnerable and hurt in that area. Yeah, who cares about it? We don't even eat that thing. It don't make too much of it, right? Because if you do, then you're going to be very depressed and give up. So if you say the places where we're vulnerable and the damage that was done is so important to me, I give up, then you'll never go on. But if you say, well, where the damage was done, we don't consider that important altogether, then I'll go on and have faith that to carry on. All right, I'll take questions in a finish. Also, however, because of that, a person has to realize that as long as he's in this world, he can't destroy the Yetzer Hara completely in the microcosm, and he can't free himself from the struggle with the nations of the world completely either. That's what the Yaros Devash says. That's why even on Yom Kippur, when the Sultan is pretty much out of work, we send him a present. Because you can't totally discount the Sultan. The Sultan was put in this world to give people dynamism, struggle, and that's what the world is all about. You can't avoid problems and struggles in this world. Not internally, not externally. Could be that's what the Pirkei de Belezer means. The Pirkei de Belezer says that Yaakov Avinu wanted to totally vanquish the angel, and he threw him on the ground. What did the angel do? He held on to Yaakov's thigh, right, and he pushed it out of its place, and it became like a dead meat. Okay? That's why we can't eat it. I think the idea is Yaakov wanted to get rid of this adversary completely. Have an easy life. There's no more struggles. Finish with this suffering. Finish with the sorrow shalaita completely in this world. Can't be. So where was he hit? In the thigh. The difference between an angel and a human being, the Gemara says, is angels don't have thighs. They can never sit down. A human being can sit, he can stand. He has to be dynamic. He has to have challenges. He has the things that push him down, and then he gets up. Right? And in fact, you're not a human being. So the angel said, if you don't want the challenge, if you want to vanquish me completely in this world, the next world, I'm not around anymore. But this world, I'm there to make you dynamic. Then you don't need thighs. You can be standing all the time, right, like an angel does, and not have this idea of being dynamic. So your thigh is basically dead meat. And that was the lesson to Yaakov Avinu. Now, what is the causes for this struggle? Right? What does it entail? So the Malbim says that the struggle between Yaakov and the angel represented the struggle with Taiva and Gashmias. He says that thigh, that sinew in the thigh, is the place where Taiva, desire, and the Gashmias is concentrated. It brings out Taiva and Gashmias in the person. And therefore, we don't eat it in order to remember that we have to be people separated from desire and physicality and more holy. The Auschwitz says, we learn from here how serious sin is. Yaakov Avinu, the only sin he had, even that wasn't a real sin. It was just a little bit of a bad mark that he married two sisters. And still, that's where he was vulnerable. So we learn from here how serious sin is. And Eilat Mitzvos, it says that the Rav Yaakov Chagiv, he says that the Giv HaNosha moved out of its place is a symbol of rebellion. It rebelled against the body. It's like a rebellion against God, right? And that's the whole idea of the desire for sexual immorality, which is one of the strongest desires a person has. And eating this gid strengthens that desire. And not eating it is like burning chametz, staying away from something that would make this desire stronger. That's why nasha in gematria is 364. On Yom Kippur, where there's no eating and drinking, and you can't have relations, then the gid anasha is neutralized. So that's why if you eat gid anasha, it's like eating on Yom Kippur. Okay, the Alkut Me'amloe says that gid hanosha is the Russian of shikha. The nosha means to forget. And if you eat the gid hanosha, it makes you forget Yiras Hashem. Similar idea, it's the whole idea of taiva, right? And therefore the way of struggling being mitmodei, how do you say that, coping with his struggles is separating yourself from tithes and being more holy. And then when the Jewish people are holy, we're in Am Levada Yishkol and Rayishkol Yisrael Betach Badad. The more separated we are from the nations of the world with our earthly desires and materialism, the more secure we are in this world, the more successful we are with that struggle. The Chizkuni says that there's another idea in not eating the Gid HaNosha. It reminds us of the sin that the Shvatim left Yaakov alone. They permitted him to be alone. They didn't escort him back to get those earthenware jars that he forgot, and therefore he was attacked. The Balei HaTosfos says also that the not eating the Gid HaNosha and losing out on those temptuous sirloin steaks, T-bone steaks or whatever, right, is remind us for all times that we have to be careful not to leave a Jew alone and to make sure that we escort him wherever is necessary. And the Pri Ha'aretz says, we see from here that just doing something a little bit wrong has repercussions for all generations. And the Sefer HaBatim says that another idea in not eating the Gid HaNosha, since the sons of Yaakov didn't eat the Gid HaNosha as custom, right, in deference to their father, right, since their father was hurt, the Tur says that it's like the day that the father dies, you fast a Yahrzeit every year. Why? Because you want to identify your father died that day. You want to feel part of his tzar of having passed away from this world, so you fast on that day to identify Nosei Ba'ol with the tzar that he had of having to leave this world. So the idea over here is that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a mitzvah to continue a minig that they had to show us how important the Sora is. That we shouldn't eat the Gid HaNosha is because it's proper to keep up a custom and to identify with your fathers, right? So these are two things that are important in the struggle in Golus. One is the achdus between Jews, being concerned about another Jew, Jews being united, not leaving Jews alone. And the second thing is keeping the Torah, identifying with the past, with tradition. That's also an important aspect of keeping up this struggle. So these are two other ideas in not eating the Gid HaNosha. Chafetz Chaim and Rav Elchanan Wasserman say that this struggle was dafka against Yaakov, who was the, like we said, the pillar of Torah learning. Because the Sotan is not so concerned of going against Chesed, which is Avraham, or Avoda, because doesn't bother him so much. But Torah is his arch enemy. Beyond the fact that if you don't have Torah, the Chesed and the Avoda could be Avodah Zorah and Gilui Arayah. Chesed doing extra kindness could end up to be immoral, and service could be idolatry. But when you have Torah, then the Avoda is real Avoda, and the Chesed is real Chesed. So that's why this thought ran. And also, the Buchanan says that two enemies can fight as long as they both are armed. When one takes the weapons away from the other, the struggle's over. Our weapons are total. If we give up our weapons, then there's no more struggle. So the struggle goes on as long as we have our weapon, which is the total. And therefore the Sfarno says that when was Yaakov vulnerable? Well, as long as he had his mind totally devoted to God, he wasn't vulnerable. But the Sultan showed him the leaders of the Jewish people that would be dishonest leaders, that would take us away from Torah, and he for a second lost his concentration with God, and that's when he was vulnerable. And it says that where do the Goyim have the power to make us vulnerable when they take away Torah? And they can't attack the Torah directly. So what did they attack? The supporters of Torah. They take away the support, and then that weakens the Torah. And once the Torah is weakened, then we are vulnerable. Just to end, there's a hint, therefore, to all the Tzomos which deal with Golus. Golus, Chulin Beis HaMikdash, is the four fast days of the year that have to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Shom Gedalia, Asara B'Teves, Shivasa B'Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av. They're all hinted in the passage, Al-Kein Lo-Yoku B'nei Israel. Therefore, the Jewish people don't eat, meaning they fast. When? S is Av Tisha. Tisha B'Av is S. G, Gimel is Gimel Tishrei, the third day of Tishrei, which is Shom Gedalia. Yud is Asara B'Teves, right, the tenth day of Teves. The Dalet is the fourth month, which is Tammuz, but there's more than that. If you take all the letters of Yid, how much does it equal? 17. So 17th of Tammuz is hinted to in Yid, right? Hanaseh is Hashanah, same Oshia. This was Sifte Kohen from the Arizal's Talmidim, say on the Pasuk. So all the Tzomos are hinted to in this Pasuk. Esh is Tisha B'Av, Gimel is Shom Gedalia, Yud is Asara B'Teves, the Dalet is the fourth month, the Gimel Yud Dalet is the 17th of the fourth month, and those are all the fast days we don't eat Hashanah during the year. And it's Hashem, if we strengthen ourselves with this struggle, both in our microcosm world and in the macrocosm world, then we will, near Hashem, see the Alos HaShachar, the sun rising with the Geula Shleima of the Nehru of Yameh.